This has probably been one of the hardest weeks I have had in years. And they said, well, aren't you on vacation? Yeah. But I'm not talking about physical. You see, sometimes when you really find out what's going on, it can be hard. And this week, I got some videos from the Prophecy Club by a man named Lindsay Williams. That, you know, it's one thing having somebody say, I'm a prophet and this is what God is showing me, okay? You can kind of think, okay, you're a prophet, but you could have had bad pizza that night that you got that, okay? Right. It's another thing having a man that ended up being a chaplain that were living with the Illuminati. Oh, wow. That they told him all their plans. And this is the first time, I mean, we've had to deal with mind control, MK Ultra, we've had to deal with satanic assassins, this is the first time that I've had something almost bring me to my knees. Because he revealed their plan that they have been working for almost 70, 80, 90 years, that they are going to bankrupt America next year. You know what? No, they're not.
That's right. Amen.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You see, they worked to take God, what they had been working since the 50s and the 40s, they knew they could not do what they wanted to do as long as the God of the Bible was the God of America. So they created the lie of separation of church and state. It's not in the Constitution, guys.
Amen, that's right.
They go back, well, they say, well, it was a writing of Jefferson. Yes, it was. And what he wrote about was the separation of the state from the church. Because at that time, and the Anglican church was paid by taxes to have the churches, and Baptist preachers were putting in jail for preaching the gospel. And so the Baptist preachers worked in concert with Thomas Jefferson to write the First Amendment. And so in his mind, it was never that the church could not influence the state. It was the state, get your nose out of the church's business. Well, they took that out. Then they took prayer out of schools. You can read a witch's book. You can read on how to be a Wiccan in school, but you can't read the Bible. They legalized abortion. They put their religion in our schools. It's called evolution. You see, if you're created in the image of God, you start acting like the way God told you to act. If you are nothing more than an evolved animal, you start having sex and taking drugs and doing all these, start acting like an animal. Man was not an animal. He was not created with the animals. He had his own specific day so that he would be separated. We were to be in the image of God to rule over the animals. I mean, I heard, I'm going to make everybody a copy of the DVDs, but I'm also going to give you the way out. We have found out our prayers have made a difference. We have frustrated them. They have had to extend their plans another couple of years. You know what? You're going to have to extend your plan another couple of decades because we've got some stuff to do in the kingdom of God. But 90% of our politicians, they control. They control the Federal Reserve. You know what I found out last night? Do you know where the biggest oil reserves are on the planet that they have known for decades? They are in the continental United States. We have three of them. One in Alaska they discovered in the 80s. We have one in the Dakotas area. And we have one in the Rocky Mountains. All of them, each one individually, has over 20 times the reserves of Saudi Arabia. But they're not going to pump it out until they collapse the U.S. dollar and they get $200 a barrel. You know what? That oil belongs to God.
That's right.
If God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters underneath, he goes on down just a little bit further and he owns the oil and he owns the gold. And I think it's funny now, if you've been reading your Torah portions, the Torah portion this week was the demise of Korah. Korah came against Moses, and he came against Aaron, not because he wanted Moses' job. He knew the power over the people that Aaron would have as the high priest. And he came because he wanted the power over the people. And you know what? He stood up against him. God says, everybody on Korah's side, just gather up over here. And God swallowed them up. You know what? God is getting ready to deal with Korah again. Also in the teaching this morning, we're going to deal with the time that Abraham learned to fight. Because believers, it's time for us to learn to fight. And I'm not necessarily talking about picking up arms, but how many know that if somebody breaks into your house, not only are you required by law, but you're required by the Word of God to protect your family. And if they go down, you send them on to their reward. They made that choice when they broke into your house. Okay? But we also need to learn how to fight spiritually. Amen. That's the greatest. You see, there are three agendas in the land. When we go to Genesis chapter 17, we have these kings decide to go against Sodom and Gomorrah, begin to go and expand their kingdoms, and there was war. Now, not this week, not only have I found out about the plan of the Illuminati, I found out the Islamic plan. There's a powerful book I'm getting ready to tell everybody about called The Islamic Antichrist by Joel Richardson. And he actually uses their writings, what they believe in their end times. And they took the book of Revelation and they said, all the bad guys are going to be good guys and all the good guys are going to be bad guys. That's their writings. All Christians are worried about getting the mark of the beast. Their stuff actually teaches when the beast comes up out of the ground, a real beast, he's going to have the rod of Moses, and he's supposed to mark your forehead if you're following Allah. And we're worried about microchips, and we're worried about barcodes. It's a mindset. You see, there are three agendas in the earth. There is the Islamic agenda, there is the Illuminati agenda, and then there is the agenda of Yahweh Elohim.
That's right.
And I have found out I'm on team number three.
Amen.
And it's like I shared a couple of weeks ago, the book of Revelation, believer, you better open up and study the book of Revelation. For more than anything else, it is there that you're going to find the real Jesus. You're going to find the real Jesus. Because not only did they take God out of the school, they took God out of the seminary. They took God out of the pulpits. The stuff that is being preached now is of the flesh. It is garbage. It is to take all spirituality out of you. Now this morning, how many know we worship God is good? I needed that this morning. I needed His presence this morning.
I did too.
Because I've been whooped up one side and down the other when I found out. I tell you what, you know, this stuff is heavy.
Yeah, it is.
And the only thing that is going to stop them is God. They took America off gold, the gold standard. They're the ones who ordered the Fed to print trillions of dollars of money that we don't have to devalue the dollar. They have set the world up to collapse next year so they can bring about a one world currency that will be based on the gold standard. You know what? That gold belongs to JESUS.
That's exactly right.
You may think that's your currency. That's His asphalt. And if He's got to do some road construction and throw us down some of the excess gravel, come on. Now, I want to go into Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. You had four kings that were beginning to do war. And I want to pick up in verse 11. There's some really powerful stuff here, guys. Those locally, that I want to make a copy of the DVDs. Anybody else listen to this on tape? Prophecyclub.com. It is the Lindsey Williams. You need to know what's going on. They've even created all the uproar in the Middle East. They did it on purpose. It's not copyrighted. In fact, he begs people, make copies, make a million copies, send it out to everybody. And so I thought, yeah, I'll do some of that. Because we got to know what is so that we can come against it. You see, if you know the plan of the enemy, if you know the plan, you can pray against it. You know the plan, you can start seeking heaven. And next time you hear a major earthquake, as far as I'm concerned, it's going to be, well, maybe some of Korah got swallowed up. Because they've sent some earthquakes. It's time for them to reap some earthquakes. Okay. Now, in verse 11, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their vestures and went their way. And here's where they made the mistake. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then there came one that escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew. Boy, isn't it interesting that I love the exactness of the Word of God. They went and spoke to the one who had crossed over out of Babylon. He had crossed over into something else. Believer, have you crossed over into something else? Or are you still playing with Babylon? Have you crossed over into the promises of God? Or are you still playing hooky with the devil stuff? You see, you can raise up and fight if you've crossed over. Because this is one of the few, this is one of the first times that we see interjected that he's Abram the Hebrew. There was something brewing in the Hebe. There was something brewing on the inside of him that when he heard about this, he said, I'm going to take this. You know, before, he was worried about the Pharaoh down there and said, oh, this is my sister. He said, I'm going to take this stuff no more. I found out who I am in God, man. There's something brewing on the inside of me. Do you have something brewing on the inside of you? Do you really know who you are in God? Let me tell you something. As I learned this stuff, I had a vision. And I mean, this was it was either a dream or I went. It was that real. Not only was it that real, it was interactive. I would think, I need to ask God this question. I would ask God this question. He would give me an answer. How real is that? And I saw a scale in heaven of God's justice. And just in weather. Okay, let's just deal with weather. How many have ever heard of the HAARP project up in Alaska? It is a stratospheric heater. It can release immense amounts of energy into the atmosphere. But when you look at its patent, some of the things it spells out in its patent is its ability to control weather. It uses scalar energy. It can control weather. It has the possibility of mind control for population control. That they can use it and they can actually target areas on the planet where they'll shoot in energy to cause massive earthquakes. But Alaska's not the only one. There are 33 of them on the planet. 33 is a very powerful Masonic number. And so God showed me this scale, and it was tipped down with the weight of what they were doing to control the weather. Now, God gave man dominion over the earth. Okay? And so we're letting them take dominion. The scales are tipped in their favor. God began to show me his people praying, and as the scales tipped down because of the prayer, they got frustrated and couldn't do their work, and God was allowed to work in the earth. That's why God never does anything unless his people pray. And I'm thinking, oh, great. I'm going to get a whole bunch of believers. You see, 90% of the people that go to church aren't even believers. They don't know the gospel. They don't know the real Jesus. They don't keep his commandments. They don't do anything. They got their fire insurance, which isn't worth the paper it's written on. Because Jesus said, unless you leave everything and follow me, you're not worthy of me. You know, nobody ever preaches that at the altar, do they? And I said, God, how am I going to get enough people together to pray to tip the scale? And he said, oh, you don't understand. I said, well, very obviously. And he said, a real believer that is a covenant keeper, that keeps the Sabbath, that keeps the feast, that keeps the commandments. He said, one of them praying equals 1,000 typical Christian praying today. That's the way. That's why the God has done the whole Hebraic roots movement, is so that we would quit being featherweights in heaven. Yeah. And he said, man, three or four of you get done. Yeah. Like, I got more. In biblical life, there's more than that. Mm-hmm. I've got some sons and daughters that have ministries mm-hmm. and we're going to get the word out, and we're going to build an army to pray. Amen. And it will tip it and frustrate the enemy. You see, sometimes we want God to absolutely destroy them. You know what's worse judgment than destroying? Frustration. They can't get it done. You see, they believe that they are pharaohs, that they have become gods in the earth, and then the gods can't get it done. Now let's go on down here verse 14. Verse 14, you need to really understand. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained. Now, servants is in italics. You see, he had learned something since Egypt. These were born in his own household, 318. Born in his own household, he called the trained. No, you haven't got it yet. There's a reason why I spent 2 years teaching spiritual warfare here. There's a whole reason why I have Biblical Life College and Seminary. It's not to make a living. It's to produce the trained. He had men in his own household that were training constantly for warfare. In the church, we have spent most of our time training on how to spend more money on the flesh and appease the flesh. We have replaced worship with entertainment. We have replaced all these things, and we have not built up men that we train them. You're a fighter! Listen to me. In this world, in the environment that is right now, what you do not take dominion over will take dominion over you. And it is time for you to raise up and take dominion over the stinking attitudes that were implanted in your life, with the bad habits that were planted in your life, with the false philosophies that were planted in your life. To bring every thought captive to Christ is your calling, and you're supposed to be the trained. 318 took on the armies of four kings. How many know they probably had more than 318? You see, if you're trained and you got God on your side, you don't need much more. I remember the story in the founding of this nation. Oh, what was his name? Was it Hamilton? I should have had it in my notes. But he went up against insurmountable odds and took this fort. When he busted through the door, the captain says, "By whose authority do you do these things?" He said, "By the name of Jehovah God." Let me tell you something. There's some Illuminati doors getting ready to be busted, and the old boys, the trained that come through, they're going to say, "Oh, let me show you my calling card. I represent Jehovah God, Yahweh Elohim, who you thought you got out of America. He's taking it back." Amen. Because there's some trained. I want within the household of biblical life, I want the trained to rise up. What is today's date? Today is June 25th, 2011, just to date this. You see, they say things are going to get bad next year. God told me things are supposed to really get bad 2035. I agree with God. I got some stuff to do. They're in the way. Abram finally realized who he was in God. You need to quit looking at every situation in life based upon who you are by yourself. Quit that bad habit. It is who Almighty God is in you. If you have bowed the knee to Jesus of Nazareth, that God, the spark of divinity, you know, all the New Ages, oh, there's a spark of divinity in man. You ain't got nothing, Jack. Until the Holy Ghost moves in, there ain't no spark. You may be looking for a spark, but I got a flame. Amen. I have got Yahweh Elohim, the Almighty One, living on the inside of me. And if I'll quit living like the devil trained me and start living like he's trying to train me, I'm going to have some victory in my life. Amen. Let's just be honest with ourselves, guys. You have never gotten anything worth a plug nickel for acting like the devil taught you. Now, you might have got the little fancy dangly he was setting in front of that little sparkly, but the repercussions of what it did to you and did to your spirit. You got a dime and it cost you $100,000 spiritually and you didn't even know it. You were tickled with that little dime. The whole time he's stealing from you. If you're really honest, everybody with all these different agendas that are contrary to the Word of God, ain't none of them happy. None of them are happy. And what they're worried about is getting vengeance on everybody and forcing everybody to accept whatever fabrication they have built in their heads. And their greatest fear is that the Church of Jesus Christ will actually start being the church instead of going to church. You see, in the body are supposed to be the trained.
That's right.
Mamas, you're supposed to be trained too. You're supposed to be training the babies on how to walk with God.
That's right.
You're the older women, you're supposed to teach the younger women how to be godly mothers, godly wives, walk with God. As you see, I got some gray in my beard. I'm getting to be old. I'm starting to actually have dreams, so I finally, I used to be, young men see visions, old men dream dreams. I'd have night visions, but they're dreams. And so my job is to train up the youngins. Now, maybe that I'm 80, I'm like Caleb, and I say, boy, stand back. I'm about to ready to take that mountain.
That's right.
But I'm here to train you because there is a better life than what they have planned for you. There is more joy than you could ever imagine. There is more victory than you could ever imagine. And it's not based on materialistic things. Yes, you can have materialistic things, but they are a service to you, not your joy.
That's right.
We're going to see that too in Abram's life. But you see, what we have done, Abram took his blessings to establish who he was in God. We have been taught from the pulpits to take our blessings to please the flesh. What kind of car do you drive, Brother Mike? Because, if you got a BMW or if you have a Lexus, I perceive that you're walking with God. You know what? I got one that has four wheels and I make them go. And they go wherever I need them to go. Now, sometimes when you see me coming out of the Aveo, because I do want to, because my big 4x4 Titan, it is a thirsty big boy, okay? And so a lot of times I will take that Aveo, and more Mike Lake comes out of it than there's car, okay? But you know what? I still get there. The air conditioning works. I'm nice and cool. Both my vehicles will blow snow if I need them to in the middle of summer. I'm a very happy camper. I am not impressed by what you pull up in. I'm impressed with the man who comes out of the vehicle. Because are you taking your blessings to establish who you are in God and become the trained?
Yeah.
Or are you taking your blessings to pacify the flesh? Oh, I'm so far from my notes, but that's okay. Let me tell you something. Abram knew the importance to train those to fight and to protect within his own household. It's time the church returns to that model.
Amen.
But what's also interesting, and in verse 13, it said, I see, Abraham and his folks, but it said that those around him were confederate with Abram. We don't know if they were walking with Jehovah God or not, but they saw what God had done in their life, and they say, "We're in alliance with you because we're not going to go against you." We have seen what happens. You almost brought down the house of Pharaoh and you were doing stupid stuff. And so now that you actually found out who you were, we ain't gonna mess with you. One of the scenes in the modern vernacular, I watched a movie where Abraham was coming back up out of Egypt, and he's coming back in the land and all the ites that were around him, they kind of met him and said, we're cool. We be cool. All right, we're at peace with you, man. Now that you're back, we're at peace. That's your land. Boy, if they just learned that today, but that's a whole other situation. It goes on to say that he armed his trained, born in his own house. He divided them against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods. And also, again, his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also and the people. He got it all back. Amen. You see, I don't care what the oil boys have in mind. They took God out of school. They took God out of Congress. Did you know what's on congressional record? And how many know that Benjamin Franklin was not necessarily the most godly guy around? And he brought to the Congress attention that this Congress used to be a place of prayer. How separation of church and state? Not according to Benjamin Franklin. And he was not a Puritan by any means. And he said, what I have noticed is when we pray, God moves in our behalf and providence moves. And when we don't, he don't. And so I put forth an amendment to Congress that every session must be started in prayer. I don't even know if they do that anymore. If they do, it's some mealy-mouthed guy that can't even pray in the name of Jesus. You don't know what God he's praying to. But let me tell you something. They knew. And we've forgotten. God had his hand in the establishment of America, and because God's people were here and were disciplining themselves to follow him, that is what made us the exceptional nation we are. And so when you take God out of the equation, we become Europe. Uh-oh. Anybody see any examples of that? Our own Supreme Court says, we do not need to follow the Constitution. Let's look and see what Europe is doing. I thought we fought a war to get rid of them guys. You know what I mean? It was called the Revolutionary War. So that we, the people, were not their people. We be the people that were endowed by their Creator with sovereign, unalienable rights. Now the Congress says you have no rights unless we give them to you. Uh-uh. You see, I belong to the right giver. I'm his. I'm in covenant with him. I'm in blood covenant by the shed blood of Jesus. You better watch what rights he gave me that you're trying to take away, because he'll say, ah, I gave them. And he's about to take back what they stole from him. He's going to take back the schools. He's going to take back the government. He's going to take back the social life where we can't even have the Ten Commandments anywhere. Woe be to the places that don't uplift God's Ten Commandments. Amen. In America.
Amen.
Woe be to that place. Woe be to the men that try to take Jesus of Nazareth out of the social life of America. Woe be to any organization that tries to take Almighty God, Yahweh Elohim, out of America. The occultists might have thought this was the new Atlantis, but it is not. It is a place where Almighty God will dwell. Because God has his agenda. You say, oh, Brother Mike, you're one of those conspiracy theorists. No. I believe in agendas. The Illuminati have their agenda. They systematically work it. The Islamic, they have their agenda for world domination. They systematically work it. I've just come in line with God's agenda. I've quit playing. I have quit tippy-toeing around things. And I say, you know what, God, if you got an agenda, I want in. I want in.
Yep.
Because I see the example of it when I get in it. Mm-hmm. That the devil knows, don't mess with this now. He finally woke up and he found out who he was in Christ Jesus. Don't you see the tactic of the enemy? If you're not really taught the real Jesus, you can't discover who he is in you. Most of the church follows some new age Jesus running around in a toga and saying, it's okay, do whatever you want, I'll let you in. What do you call that? I call that grace. I call that stupidity. His grace rescued me out of that junk so that I wouldn't have, so that it wouldn't have dominion over me anymore. So quit playing with what he was supposed to have delivered you from and cast it aside as the filthy garments that it is.
Amen.
And start finding out in his book, and it starts in the book of Genesis, by the way, what righteousness is. Well, I've got a whole other series I'm going to start teaching on Wednesday night so I can get on video about, well, that's a, oh, I got about 10 hours worth of preaching to do today. Guys, men and women of covenant faith will build up their ability to fight spiritually. They will prepare for battle. They will be ready when the enemy tries to encroach on their blessings from the hand of God. And if there was never a time in history where ungodly men were trying to encroach on the blessings of God, America is on the precipice. Abraham also used strategic planning, and when he made war, he used the cover of night and divided up his men, so he attacked them from several directions, threw them in disarray, and took them captive. We need to learn when you begin to follow the things of God. You know, I've had God tell me some of the most craziest things. Mary tell you the same thing. In the natural, I'm going to do what? I'm going where? That isn't what I had planned today, Lord. And then he strategically puts you in the right place. I was watching on one of the Christian television shows about this guy that I was on Sid Roth. This guy who was a big guru in yoga and all this stuff. And I mean, he disciplined himself. I mean, he would do meditation and yoga 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And he was teaching in all these universities down in Florida yoga. He was heavy in the New Age and stuff. And he kept on getting hit with this information about Jesus. And what he didn't know is when there was an ad, an article in the paper came out about it. I said, man, this will explode my classes. A prayer group saw that and said, we need to pray for that guy. And they started praying. And I mean, they laid it on. And he kept on getting introduced about this stuff about Jesus. And he said, well, you know, I'm a guru. I'm supposed to be open-minded. So he says, I'm going to dedicate myself one day. One day. To investigate this Jesus thing. Because, I mean, whenever he disciplined himself, that's all he did. He meditated. He got a hold of a Bible, started reading the Bible all day, and said, Jesus, if you're real, I want you to make yourself real to me today. You know, there's a purpose to this story, just in a minute. So you have this guy that was part of the prayer group that used to also be involved in yoga, getting ready to take his laundry into the laundromat. He starts to walk in and the Holy Ghost says, no, get your laundry, put it in your van, and start driving around town. I got something for you to do. Where am I going to go? You'll know when you get there. He'd drive a little bit. God says, turn right here. He turned right here. He drives a little bit. God says, turn left here. He turns left here. And then God says, pick that guy up. There's that yoga master hitchhiking on the side of the road. God says, pick him up. He picks him up, and on the inside of his Volkswagen minivan, or Volkswagen van, there's a picture of Jesus up right between the two shade things, visors, and the guy looks up and he gets all excited. He says, would you like to hear about Jesus? And he says, he's usually used to, oh no, I don't want to hear about it. Yeah, what are you going to tell me? And he starts explaining Jesus. He said, would you like to invite him into your heart? I've been waiting. guys, led him to the Lord. He went back to his yoga classes and told them what happened and led about 80 to 90% of them to Jesus. All abandoned yoga because all that's actually all mysticism and everything. Every stance that you have is actually a prayer to a demonic god out of India with the Hindus. But you know what? God said, I know you're supposed to do laundry today, and probably the only clean clothes the guy owned was probably on his back at the time. You know how single guys are. You're down to that last pair of BVDs, and you probably flipped them inside out to get one more day's use out of them. And you, come on, that single guys, all the women go, oh my goodness. Guys say, yeah, I've done that, you know. Sprayed on a little extra deodorant. I finally got to get to the laundromat because people in the building are starting to complain. And then God says, you're not going to do laundry today. I want you to jump in your van and just start driving, and I'll show you where to drive. You see, that was a strategic intersection in the kingdom of God. We need to learn to follow the Holy Spirit when we do stuff. If we do, we'll start ending up with more strategic situations where God will lead us to the right people at the right place. The reason Lindsay Williams was at the right place at the right time was because he followed God and volunteered to be a chaplain when they were building the Alaskan pipeline. If he had not and had not got a church to send him as a missionary up there to do that, God could have never have put him in that position to find out what their plans were. Strategic. Or as President Bush said, strategery. We need to learn to be strategic. Allow God to get us to move out of our normal routines so that He can do the supernatural. Now let's jump on to verse 18. You see, whenever you have, he grew up and did spiritual warfare and came out victorious, immediately Melchizedek shows up. Some of you want great revelation from God, but you won't fight a war to get it. And it's always on the other side of the warfare. You want it on this side. God, there are certain things that only God will release into the heart of a victor. The untrained, he isn't going to tell them what's going on. The untrained, those that won't fight for the kingdom, God isn't going to show anything except trying to get them to realize who they are so they will raise up and fight. But once you have fought, and once you have gotten a victory in your life, Jesus will come to you and give you more. It's very interesting here what we read. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed them and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hands. And he, Abram, gave him tithe of all. Now it's a mystery who Melchizedek was. We don't find anything else about him in the book of Genesis, but we do in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 7, starting with verse 1, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings. Don't you like how it's recorded in history? The slaughter. He didn't just go and punch him in the nose, okay? And blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth of all part, being interpreted the king of righteousness. Melchizedek was not his name, it was his title. Today you would spell it J-E-S-U-S. You see, Melchizedek, because he goes on to, he gives us a clue in verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent, without neither the beginning of the days nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was unto whom the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of all his spoils. The first tithe in the Bible was given to Jesus for the revelation that he gave. The book of Hebrews also goes on and says, even Levi in the loins of Abraham tithed unto Melchizedek. Theologically, we call this a Christophanies. It is a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Christ. Jesus showed up and said, now that you have learned to walk in some victory, and he gives him the greatest revelation that Abraham ever received his entire life. He gave him bread and wine. He gave him bread and wine. And then one day, that same Melchizedek sat down with his disciples and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. He showed Abram the mystery of the covenant, the mystery of communion. And from that day, long before, now how many know when Moses with the Passover, you have the bread and the wine with Passover, and you have three sheets of matzah bread in the afikoman. And you take them out, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then you go back to Isaac, and Isaac is always the one who gets broken. Because Isaac is forever tied to Messiah. Because the man in covenant with God gave his only begotten son a promise for God on the altar because he was willing to do that. It opened the door for God to give his only begotten son on the altar for mankind. Now, Abram couldn't embed it in Passover yet because he ain't had one. He embedded it in the Sabbath. On Ev Shabbat, when you begin Ev Shabbat, you start out with the bread and the wine, and you bless God for the bread and the wine. It was established by Abram because every time that you do that and every time you celebrate the Sabbath, it is a divine rehearsal of the millennial reign of Christ. What we're experiencing today, the Sabbath, the rest of the Sabbath, is just a little glimpse of how it's going to be, how you're going to feel during the millennial reign. That peace that you have. You see, I never had that peace on Sunday. You see, on Sunday, you fight and argue all the way to church. And then you put on smiley faces as you walk in the door. Well, glory to God. I mean, you know, your wife's curling iron blows up. You know, you got oil leaking out of the van. You got a flat tire. The kids are fighting. You go all the way to church and you're trying to praise God. And then you get mad if the preacher goes too far over because now you can't beat the Lutherans to the chicken place. And we call that rest. If you notice around here, church kind of goes as long as church is going to go. And if we think it's going to go too long, we'll bring you something to eat. We kind of like doing that, don't we, baby? But the church has lost all of its strength because it's not. We have, in our Christian theology, invented our own covenant and asked God to bless it. Get back to His covenant. Get back to His days. His days work. You see, what I found out with the Sabbath, I don't have to beg God to bring me rest on the Sabbath. I just welcome it because it comes in like a flood. First time Mary and I ever did that, she lit the candles. I said the prayer. I had peace almost knock me over. Her and I looked up at each other and said, man, if we could ever get this in a church service. We did. So my eyes spread almost, my whole face was just two big old eyeballs. It's, whoa. I thought, well, let's do this little Jewish thing. And I light the candles, baby. Let me say the prayer. God was making a point. He came in with a big exclamation point. He got my attention. But you don't understand. That's why the Jewish people, God still got their number. Every Ev Shabbat, every devout Jew celebrates the mystery of communion and Messiah and don't even know it. That's why when God opens their eyes, it's already embedded. It's already embedded. God brought forth His bread out of the earth. Out of the earth. You know what your flesh is made of? Earth. He made Himself a man suit, a suit of flesh, and walked in it. And He filled that vessel with blood that was not tainted by sin.
That's awesome.
Oh.
That is awesome.
Everybody's always waiting on God to give them the greatest revelation they need. You're never going to get it until you stand up and fight with what you got. People always marvel, oh, yeah. And this is not saying anything about me, but there's a lot of revelation knowledge flows here. It didn't used to, did it, baby? I was just on the bandwagon, and I would just take what everybody else preached and made maybe just a little bit different, shake it up just a little bit, whether it was faith teaching or Pentecostal teaching or Baptist teaching. Then we got in a fight. Not her and I, but we got in a fight with the devil. And we went through some rough years. But when you came victorious out of the other side, revelation began to flow. I mean, there's a lot of old tapes I like to destroy because it's like Mike Lake 101, and he was running on unleaded, low-octane fuel. But, you know, God not only put me on premium fuel, he gave me some nitric oxide when I needed it just a little bit. He got this button he pushes, and I go off when I need to. Because Jesus showed up and started talking to me. I mean, when some of my best sermons, guys, I preach in my sleep. Mary will tell you this. I wake up preaching them and scramble to get them written down. Priesthood of the believer, God downloaded into my spirit 15 minutes on a treadmill. You would think that would make me have a treadmill doctrine, but it didn't. God can only talk to me on a treadmill. Spent 9 hours on it yesterday. No, I didn't. That's because there was some fight. We took what we knew. We begin to examine everything, and Mary had the tenacity because Dr. Lake said, I just don't think it's that way, Mary. Then I got in the Bible, and it was. Mike, I don't think we should eat pork. Wow, what you doing, my pork chop woman? Don't you know the most yummiest thing on the planet are things that have bacon on it? Try to speak in tongues system. I was saying it was yummy, 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 yummy. Got into the actual Bible. Not what everybody says, but actually got in the Bible. Oh, I can't eat that stuff. Well, I love God more than I love food. Got to find out about the feast. You know what really got my attention about the feast? When I found the Satanists desecrating them. You never see a Satanist desecrate Sunday. They were desecrating the feast. Got my attention. I want to check out what these feasts are. I don't know. What are they? I don't know. They're Jewish things. Never in the Word does it ever, except one place where it was injected into John, where he said, these are the feasts of the Jews. The Bible calls them the feasts of the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. They belong to him. The Jews or the Hebrews just got to do it because they were his people. They're all about Jesus. Find out about those. Find out about covenant. I mean, for the normal believer, if you found out all the details I found out this week, you would be decimated. I mean it. I mean, we had one president stand up against him. They killed him within a week, named JFK. Very few people realize that the week before he died on that Sunday, he was speaking at Columbia University and said, there are people that rule this nation that were not elected. And he was about ready to reveal them. But at the end of the week, he was dead. But you know what? You can't kill a man of God. You see, I've come to the place, the only way you can kill me is by permission. And if God says no, I don't care what you try. There was a guy named Dietrich Dudeman that was a prophet in Romania that was taken prisoner by the communists because he was bringing Bibles in. And they had him up on, did you ever see in Rambo 2 where they had this old mattress thing when they would turn up the electricity? They had him something like that. And they were electrocuting him, and he had an angel appear to him and said, start pleading the blood between you and this device. And he started pleading the blood. They couldn't kill him. They turned it all the way up. They couldn't kill him. The colonel said, I've had it. I'm going to kill this preacher. He walked into his room to get his weapon out, and he picked it up and started walking back towards Dietrich Dudeman's room and dropped dead. Dropped dead. And so the second in command says, you know what we're going to do this preacher? We're going to let him go. Get out of my prison. I want to tell you the power of the God that we serve. God says, you can haul all the Bibles you want. He would fill his car so full of Bibles that there was just enough room for him to sit in it. And when he'd pull up to the checkpoint with these Russian guys that the Word of God was illegal, Dietrich, what do you got? I got a carload full of Bibles. Oh, silly preacher. And they would start pushing away Bibles looking for Bibles. They would get x-ray equipment, they bring it into his home, and he's got Bibles stacked all over it. You know, did you ever see the old movies where the old nerdy professor has books stacked up all over the place and you can't even find any place to sit? That's the way his house looked, and they were moving them out of the way to put their x-ray equipment to see through the walls to see if they could find some Bibles. You see, when God has decreed a thing, when God has decreed a thing, you see, that's one of the reasons the devil tried to get you to not read the Old Testament. There was a prophet named Elijah that was surrounded by the Assyrian army. And his servant came out and said, Master, what are we going to do? Freaking out. He looked up and said, he saw the hills with the chariots of God. He said, man, there's more of us than there are of them. He's going, 1, 2. What kind of new math you got, Elijah? But you know what the servant of God did? This shows you the power that we have in God in situations. And God, when I read that, the Holy Spirit was spoken because he said, be blind. He looked at the army, said, be blind. You had thousands of men that became instantly blind. And he led them away. The very one that they went to kill had to lead them to safety. And God said, he could have said, you're dead.
That's right.
Elijah gave grace to the enemy. Mm-hmm. You see, in we don't realize the power of our prayers and the power of our words when we're walking in covenant. We don't understand the weight of them. And because you don't understand the weight of them is the reason the devil loves to get you aggravated so that he can use the weight of your words. It pleases the devil more than anything is if you'll curse yourself. If you'll curse what's dear to you. If you'll curse your children. Curse your job. Last thing you need is your job curse, because if it actually takes hold and they close down tomorrow, what you going to do? Come on now. Do you understand that? The devil has more faith in the power of your words than you do. And when you're walking with God, you can be surrounded by an army and all you got to say is be blind. Mm-hmm. Or there was another time the Assyrians camped around Jerusalem, and God says, y'all just go to sleep, boys. Just people, go to sleep. I'm going to send one angel. 180,000 dead the next morning of the Assyrians. One angel. I got me an angel. He got an attitude. Sometimes he has an attitude toward me when I get in the flesh. Says, why don't you just straighten up and follow God? We don't need a legion of angels. It just takes one. It just takes one. The Bible says angels heed the word of God. And the only time they're ever going to heed what you speak is when they can hear God's voice in your words. Otherwise, they turn a deaf ear. People go around commanding angels to do this, that, and the other. Who do you think you are? I did not see Jehovah on your chest. But if they can hear the Holy Ghost speaking through you, they will perform His word. And so your job is to get to the place where His word speaks through you. Otherwise, the angel sits there and twiddles his thumb and gets bored and says, when is this guy going to get on the bandwagon and starts walking with God the way? Doesn't he know the grace that God gave to him? Grace was a shock to the devil. covenant was a shock to the devil. He was waiting for God to say in the garden, you know what? It's over. You're dead. I told you you're going to die. You're dead, Jack. Instead of God says, well, let's go get a lamb. What? He can't understand it. He can't understand repentance. He can't comprehend repentance. It's time for us to repent and start flowing with the kingdom. Amen. Repent of all our flesh outs. Repent of letting the world control our thought life instead of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Repent of the world teaching us our sexuality instead of the Word of God. Yeah. Having the Word teach us what means something instead of the Word of God. Repent of the world teaching us about money instead of God. If you get to the place to where money won't have you, you can have money. But the Bible says, he who is quick to get rich or who will run after money will not go unpunished. I'm not running after money. Last time I read, money was supposed to run after me.
That's right. Amen.
When I run after Jesus.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You see, I want to get so busy running after Jesus, something keeps on trying to trip me up. What is that, Mike? That's that million trying to jump off on me because I'm chasing after Jesus and I got something to do.
Amen.
And I want you to see that here in Abram's life in verses 21 through 24. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself, his entire kingdom. Do you see what he said? I want you to take now all the goods these kings hauled off of the entire kingdom of Sodom and Gomorrah. I want you to keep all the stuff, but I want you to just give back to people. Most every TV preacher would stop right there and say, see the return on your tithe? He just tithed in the first verse, and he gets all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah on the next. Glory to God. We're going to get that Sodom and Gomorrah return. Because he was a tither. Woo! Shalaba sombra sinibaha. Blah, 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 blah. It says, and Abraham said to the king, I will lift up my hand unto the Lord Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, and I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou say, I have made Abraham rich. He wasn't going to get into a position to where the evil could say, I made the man. We have preachers teaching New Age doctrine, calling it prosperity. We have them teaching worldly ways. We saw on a Christian television show where they were telling you not to pay your bills so that you could take that to invest it. That makes you a criminal. Makes you a liar. You think a criminal and a liar is going to walk with God? And this is how you create wealth. Yeah, maybe in Sodom and Gomorrah where they pervert justice, but not in the kingdom of God. And Abram had said, no, I am not going to allow you to ever brag that you made me rich. The blessings that I have were given by the hand of God, and I raised my hand to him because he gave me the victory. Oh, you should be getting real excited because that was really good preaching right there, by the way. Now, it goes against everything that you'll hear on Christian TV, but it's good preaching just the same.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But look what he did. Now, how many know his young, all the guys working for him didn't necessarily have the same covenant he had? Save only that which young men have eaten and the portion of the men that went with me, let them take their portion. So he said, you ain't going to give me nothing, but all these boys to put their risk on the line for me? You're not going to be bragging about third, fourth down the line. I know you. I'm the one who God gave a name. And so all these other boys that fought with me, you can go ahead and give them their portion, but I'm not going to take mine. That was an unselfish act. I want to make sure my boys are taken care of.
Amen.
But I'm going to make sure that you'll never brag about what God's going to do in my life. You know why he was able to say that? He started with nothing when he started with God, just like you and me. And look what God did. Out of his own household, he raised up an army. What does he think that king of Sodom and Gomorrah could ever add to him? And children of God, What can the world ever add to you? They want to become braggadocious. Well, he really says he's following the ways of God, but he's using the law of attraction, or he's using this mumbo jumbo type of thing, and he, you know, he's cheating on his stuff over here so that he can build himself up over here. He's not paying his bills so he can build his wealth. You say ministries don't do that? Some of the biggest ministries I know owe me the most money. In fact, it's getting to a place where I won't even deal with it. When we deal with our schools, I won't even deal with one that has a church over 400 or 500. There's one that has almost 1,000 now, but she's a daughter in the faith. And I know that girl crosses her T's and dots her I's. And hell would freeze over before she ever cheated anybody. I don't care if she gets 10,000, I'll trust her. But I went to some of the churches you walk into, you're impressed, you know, $5-10 million facility. Don't. Because they got that way because they end up owing a whole bunch of people a bunch of money and don't pay it whenever they can, and all they're worried about is their reputation. Don't need it, don't want it. I done played that game and I cashed my chips and I got out of that. Don't want it, ever. I don't want on Christian TV. Don't want it. I'm not playing their Sodom and Gomorrah games. If I do anything, if we ever grow to the place here technologically where we can, I'm just simply going to produce them and post them free on YouTube like I do our monthly things and get it out that way. I'm not playing those games. I refuse to bow the knee. I'm going to do it God's way, and I'm believing that those that God brings to biblical life, whether they're here, and guys, we have far more not here than we do here. That I get emails all the time about how it's changing their lives and they're establishing their ministries that way. I've got one church now in North Carolina that all the videos that we have done, that's their Wednesday night service. He's introducing his entire congregation to the Sabbath, to the feasts, all of it. And there's more. Because in biblical life, what I want is the trained. Whether they're here or whether they're somewhere else, I want within the household of biblical life the trained that walk with God so that their prayers have weight in heaven. I would rather be a featherweight to sin and a heavyweight to God any day. And guys, God has brought you into this place, whether you're listening by audio or whether you're here, because God wants you to be a heavyweight in the kingdom. God's got some stuff planned for you. And I don't care what Islam's agenda is. I don't care what the Illuminati's agenda is. What I care about is what the plan of Almighty God is. Amen. I want Michael to come and I want him to sing one song for us that he never promised that the cross would not get heavy. Because we're supposed to be trained fighters. And how many know that God never said everything's going to be easy in the world? Jesus said, while you're in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and keeps his commandments?